It is indeed my pleasure to come and be with you this morning in this homecoming celebration. About 19 and a half years ago, I retired from this pastorate and stayed retired for 3 years. And then the Lord called me back into service, and I have been now serving the church in Munford, Tennessee for about 17 years. So the Lord has blessed. He's blessed me to be able to come today, and I'm so glad to see you folks that I remember and know and love, and there are some that are new here in this congregation. I'm so glad to see you also, and glad to know that you're being faithful members of this congregation. And bless those from Oxford who have come to visit with us today. We're so glad to have the visitors. We are in troubled times, you know that. All you have to do is turn on your television to the news, and you get all the downside of the news. Troubles. We have murders, we have rapes, we have thieves, we have all kinds of things. And then they get to the international news, and there's all the wars and the conflicts throughout the world. And we need to pay attention to these things. But they somehow get onto our hearts, and we can hardly stand after a time to listen because of the downside of the news. We are in troubled times, and it was predicted so in the Bible, so we must pay attention to this also. It's a serious subject. It's a very serious subject. I want to say this, that when I was in the Second World War, in the end of the Second World War, we knew what we were fighting about. We were fighting to save democracy from communism. Of course, there are still communist countries, and we have not overcome them. The fact is, we have allies, we have business with them, we have our conventional commerce with such countries. But still, our United States should stand for the Christian ideology of the founding fathers. Do I hear any amens to that? Thank you. I'll tell you what, when our founding fathers came to this country and settled and constituted a government, we had an esteem for God. We had an idea that God is the sovereign, and that He is the provider, and that we are His servants, and we are to look to Him. But now we find all kinds of ideas, philosophies, religions floating about in our society. And there is conflict. As we think about the Twin Towers of New York, but then more recently, as we hear the news about a young man who attempted to blow up one of the central major banks of our country just in these past few days, and was apprehended by the Federal Bureau of FBI, anyhow. The thing is that the terrorist groups are not just in Libya, not just in Afghanistan. We have terror in our own country here, and we need to be aware of it. Why? Why should these things be? Simply because there's a majority of our people here in the United States that have departed and left God. They left God out. They have suppressed the Christian faith. And this is what we get in the first chapter of Romans. We can read about it. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress, who hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. And yet, they don't believe these things. They don't accept this. They're without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Folks, it's been getting this way for a long time. And those of us who are older realize that fact. It's a serious matter. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man. God gave them up. And then they changed the truth of God into a lie, worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. And we see that. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, and we see that. And people expect us to accept that sort of behavior in our society. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisper, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And some of these know that they're doing wrong and will not repent. A serious time. Billy Graham, the evangelist, made this prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that is exactly what we have done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and reversed our values. We have exploited the poor and called it the lottery. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and called it choice. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building self-esteem. We have abused power and called it politics. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have coveted, we have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Cleanse us from sin and set us free. Thus, that evangelist prayed. How do you pray? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, the preacher read, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's it. We're not facing people in our community here in Water Valley or Oxford or Covington, Tennessee, and saying, you are the enemy. No, no, no. We're not doing that. But we as Christians are facing the other ideologies that are rampant in our nation. And the followers of Islam and the followers of Mormon are not the only ones who are the enemy of the Christian faith. So we have this Christian conflict. In the third chapter of 2 Timothy, Paul wrote to this young preacher in that day, and he said, know this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. These are the last times. The last times have been ever since Jesus Christ was exalted and raised up into heaven. These are the last times. And we find that there is such a problem in our society that it invades our churches. And we have differences of opinion that are political in the church. They are divisive in the church. They are carnal. They're worldly. They come to us as people Satan desires to overcome. Now, when we think about the nation and the conflict that we have with other ideologies, though the government will not say it that way, but we also have the differences in the churches. And this also brings a bad reputation, oftentimes, to the church because of the spiritual battles that go on within the congregations. I trust that there is no battle going on in this congregation. I know that my little congregation up there at Mumford is a peaceful and loving congregation, and I'm thankful for that. But it does happen. It does occur. But then there's also, besides the national and besides the church, there's the conflict, the civil war that goes on within each one of us individually, and we can't deny that. Paul, as he wrote to the Roman Christians, gave testimony of his own problems with this civil war. He recognized the fact that though he knew that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he was doing his best to put aside the things of this world and the things of the flesh and of the devil and serve the Lord, yet there was still conflict within his very soul. So he says that sin, working death in me by that which is good, that is the law, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. We might know that we're sinful creatures. We're not good. Our goodness, our very best goodness, our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah said. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. Paul was saying, I'm just a man. I'm a man who's a servant of Jesus Christ, but I'm still a man. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. You think about Paul, how consecrated he was to the Lord, how great a servant he was as a missionary, how wonderful he was to set aside other things for the cause of Christ. And yet he says, sin dwells in me, for I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And so he's in this very situation, having a civil war going on within his soul. And he comes to this conclusion, oh, wretched man that I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. And how many of us can say amen to that today? Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We want to do good. We want to worship. We want to have a good spirit within us. We want to be neighborly. We want to be kind and merciful and gentle. We want to be forgiving. And we want to do all that. And yet, day by day, hour by hour, we still have our sinful tendencies. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers. We have these temptations. We have these problems. We have our own weakness and sinful nature. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, we have the fine military powers, the machinery, the inventions, the things that can be used, and yet our boys are still dying over in Afghanistan. They have the armor, but they're still dying. They're giving their lives for our country and for the security of our country. And that's not all. Our ambassadors are also in precarious places around the world. With all the armament, we still are undefensible. What can we do? Certainly, we ought not to panic. There's no reason for us to give up and say, well, let them have it. stated in the beginning of your service. I'm so glad that this portion was chosen for the call to worship. Psalm 46, God is our refuge and strength. God is our refuge and strength. We have the armor that God provides. Gospel. Oh, that's a good one. Put on our feet the gospel. Go with it. Helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. Do you realize that the armor that God provides is just for the front of you? If you turn your back, you don't have any defense. Must face the spiritual foes in this great conflict. There's no doubt about it. We must face the spiritual foes. But then we have this one weapon of offense. That is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the Scriptures. Think about it. Read the Bible every day. Study the Bible. Take care and attend your Bible classes and participate. Take the Word of God. But just don't have it here or in your home, but carry it to the people in the community. And keep on carrying the Word of God. Keep on carrying the Word of God. You know what the Word of God was to Paul and Peter and Andrew? It's the Old Testament. Old Testament. Sometimes I carry around in my pocket the New Testament. They had the Old Testament. And they preached the gospel from there. And they showed how that Jesus Christ was the true Son of God, the Lord of life, from the Old Testament. And we ought to be able to do that too. And so that whenever the Mormons come around or the people of other religions that are not Christian, as they come to our doors, we need to be able to use the sword of the Spirit. Don't say, well, I'm a Christian, and slam the door. Don't do that. But tell them the truth from the Word of God. Use that sword of the Spirit for the sake of God. But there's one other thing that we need to do. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Prayer. Pray. That's the thing. We have the opportunity of our conversation with the chief of the hosts of heaven and of all the hosts of his upon the face of the earth. We need to pray. We need to pray earnestly and keep on praying. Pray for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. What was the mystery of the gospel? What was this secret? It was that you and I, who were Gentiles, could be Christians. Isn't that wonderful? We can be Christians. Not just the Jews. Not just the Jews. But also us Christians. Us Gentiles. So we can become Christians. And may it be that as we go out from this place today, we'll go with the resolve that we will stay in prayer in the meditation upon God's Word, and that we will put on the whole armor of God and continue to stand when the day is over in this great spiritual conflict that has to do with our nation and the nations of the world, that has to do with the church, and that has to do with us individually. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee. We thank Thee for Thy Word. We thank Thee for the opportunity of responding to Thy Word in prayer. We thank Thee for this opportunity of blessed conversation with the Almighty God. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that Thou hast exalted Thy Son and made Him to be the Commander-in-Chief. And we thank Thee that today Thou hast seen fit to call us to be soldiers of the cross. So we pray for Thy blessing upon each one of us here. Help us to be truly devoted. Help us to desire within our hearts that there would be peace, reconciliation with Thee, reconciliation with other people, and the truth, and the life that Christ gives. And we do thank Thee for Thy blessing and grace in Jesus' name. Amen.